Hey, Browns Nation. How's everybody feeling on this heavy workday Thursday afternoon in preparation for the Oakland Raiders? Yeah, another winless football team. This time coming to town. And how confident are you that the football team that we're all concerned with, the Cleveland Browns, are going to be able to shed what ailed them last week and get back to playing the type of in-concert football that allowed them to win three of their first five before that ugly situation took place in Jacksonville? Great to have you with us, everybody. Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zagura will join us a little bit later on. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hope you're feeling good. It is, as Matt and I always talk about on Thursdays, a heavy work day. You're going to hear from Mike Pettine a little bit later on in the show. Mike just got finished with the media. And Matt, great to be with you as always. And as we start right off the top, Mike had a couple of quick quips to the media. They were trying to get him to talk about the trade deadline. And his response to that was?
What trade deadline? Just goes to show that this man's mental state is on the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
Not about the personnel. He lets those who get paid a lot of money to do that handle it. His job is to coach the 53 men in this locker room and have them prepared to play football on Sunday.
Yeah. And listen, I think Mike Pettine was very upfront and very candid on Monday with regard to the situations that went on in the football game, that he, as the head football coach, you know, it's about making decision after decision after decision for 60 minutes on the fly. That play clock is, you know, as soon as one of the game officials puts that football and gets it spotted for play, tick, 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 that play clock starting, and you only have three timeouts that you could deal with, you know, perhaps. So decisions come fast and furious in abundance, and Matt, it's what we've talked about. I think Mike Pettine, for the first time, and not that there weren't decisions before, but there were ones that directly impacted, as it turned out, as usually they will, the outcome of that football game on Sunday.
Most definitely. And I think, you know, like a lot of, you talk about that ticking on the clock is, you know, that red flag in those precarious situations. Do I throw it? Do I not? You know, is burning a hole in your pocket or in your sock, where some coaches like to keep it. And,
yeah.
And I think that what we found out is, There's a learning, the same way that these young men or gentlemen in the locker room have had to learn new offensive systems.
They're gentlemen now?
The gentlemen.
Gentlemen,
yes,
in the locker room?
We'll call them.
I like that. Listen to you.
And the same way they've learned that these new systems, I think Coach Mike Pettine also, too, we realize there's a learning curve for him, too. And that's when I talk about, and I talked about this week thus far, about those decisions is surrounding yourself, meaning his staff of coaches who have tenure in this, in the National Football League. Not saying Coach Mike Pettine doesn't, but have been a coordinator or have been a head coach, or in Kyle Shanahan's case, you know, was the understudy of his long tenure dad, Mike Shanahan, and had been through the ups and downs, and probably because of his dad had seen the challenge process, you know, come into play, you know, during his tenure as a head football coach. So the more you surround yourself with that experience, the easier it is to make those decisions. And I think what we saw for the first time was, again, a little bit of indecision, a little bit of aggression in regards to, you know, how he was going to approach the, you know, the fourth and one, and also to the situation with fourth and five.
Mm-hmm.
And it can kind of go both ways, but I just feel that it is all going to be a learning process, same way it is for Brian Hoyer as a starter. You know, his preparation for the game, his execution, and this defense as well against the running tack of the Oakland Raiders. What we realize is they have to be on their game. The Cleveland Browns this year, to be competitive and to win football games, they need to be on their game every week, which we heard from the quarterback Brian Hoyer yesterday in his comments.
Yes, we did. And we did, and there's no doubt about that. And I think we all realize that about the Browns. So as we start the show today, as always, we like to lay the menu out for you, the buffet line, the Ohio business machine, hot topics of the day. Tony Sprano and his Oakland Raiders, another wounded animal, ladies and gentlemen, not literally, but figuratively. as were the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. Now, if you recall, back in 2000, and Tony Sperano and Mike Pettine have been together. Right? They've been coaches together with the New York Jets under Rex Ryan. And but if you recall, Matt, back in 2008, Sperano had a great deal of success running. It didn't last long, right? It didn't last long, but he was part of running the Wildcat with the Miami Dolphins.
He did.
And it kind of spread like wildfire, and then it flat out, bang, hit the wall. It just went away, man.
That's right. And even in Coach Pettine's comments, if you're following Mary Kay Cabot or Scott Petrak on Twitter, you know, Coach Pettine made the comment of, you know, the zone read is the new fad, and the Wildcat was kind of the old hat. And to speak of the Wildcat, I actually was a part of the San Diego Chargers football team that visited the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, were you?
With Tony Sperano as a head coach and prepared for that Ricky Williams, Ronnie Brown Wildcat offense.
Yeah, Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown. And remember the, Patrick, the left-handed quarterback out of West Virginia.
Cobb.
Patrick, yeah, that went in there and was also a part of that as well. So, all right, so you've got variations of this, so we know that. So is that part of the matchup that you guys feel that the Browns are going to have to find a way to control? And I know, but listen, we were sitting here last week, Matt, and we want you all to get on board at 216-578-0850. All right, we love to talk to you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, your show, Browns Nation. It is for you to opine and dialogue with us and get it all out there. 216-578-0850. And you could also tweet at the show at Browns_daily, at MattWilhelm57, at Nathan Zagura, at Michael Regai. Easy. There's four different ways, and we're going to get you there. We'll have a couple of segments that will be devoted to your tweets as you roll strong on social media with us, and we will get involved in that as the show goes on. The thing, though, that I before we say, Matt, we were sitting here last week with regard to another team's run game. And maybe we'll – Carlos Dansby yesterday – Carlos Dansby basically said when asked about it after practice, no, look, no more excuses. There are no more excuses. We, as professionals defensively, we've got to find a way to, you know, smack ourselves in the head and get this thing squared away. Because it started, I got the sense that Carlos was saying, all right, six games in now. Starting to become a problem. Starting to become an issue. And Matt, you and I were talking about it. And before you say, well, Oakland, you know, Darren McFadden hadn't done nothing. Maurice Jones-Drew's only carried the football 18 times this year. That's all well and good. Last week, Jacksonville came in at the very bottom in the National Football League. And, of course, we all know around here, here's the guy, young man from Florida, known as Shoelace, that quarterbacked with Rich Rodriguez and a little bit 1 year of Brady Hoke at Michigan and did a 127-yard tap dance on the Browns. And, Matt, I was there. And the thing that startled me the most, Matt, he ran tackle to tackle with power ISO football. Denard Robinson. So, listen, it was startling to me.
It is. And I think that that is something that, again, I think Carlos Dansby being the vocal leader, and I don't think we've heard much from Dante Whitner, you know, this week, or at least yet, sees it as a problem. And it needs to be identified. Because
don't you get the sense from the way Carlos is speaking? I do.
Oh, I do that, too.
Yeah, right. We're six games deep now.
Yeah.
This is an issue now.
It is definitely an issue, and a lot of the concern is not only are you, again, allowing a team to just run the football, but why are they running the football, or why are they having so much success? So, and I think at this point right now, we're both questioning the personnel and the scheme. You know, and we've tried to change the personnel, and it's still broken. And now we've tried to tweak the scheme. We're not going to change the scheme, but we tried to tweak the scheme. But here's, from a defensive standpoint, why allowing teams to run the football successfully is such a headache is because, you know, you always want to take one thing away from an offense. An offense can do two things. What are they? Run and pass. And if you can limit them in one of those categories, and we understand what type of league this is. It's a passing football league. You know, quarterbacks want to throw the ball 30, 35, 40 times, but they will also throw it 17, like we saw Brian Hoyer do against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Sure. And
run
and
for
have great success and put 31 points on the board.
Exactly. That's my point. So at this point, you know, the Cleveland Browns cannot stop the run. And so therefore, and they're not getting probably the amount of pressure they'd like on the quarterback. And what does that do? That leaves your defensive backs out to dry. And who have we seen contributing? We haven't seen the best Joe Hayden yet. We've seen a above average Buster Skrine who's playing well.
Playing well.
We're seeing what I feel a Pro Bowl level Tashaun Gibson.
Yes, no question.
An average to above average Dante Whitner. But then here's where it gets kind of finicky is.
Carlos Dansby's played well.
Sure, yeah. Undrafted free agent K'Wan Williams.
Yes.
Number 8th overall, Justin Gilbert, who have struggled, those are contributors in our defensive backfield. And when you can't stop the run and they're putting the ball 40 times in the air, teams will find the weaknesses in the back end when you can't pressure the quarterback and you can't cover 4, 5, or 6 seconds. And you know that, Reg.
That's exactly correct. And it's the prime reason, and not to detour and go, but is the you mentioned the name to me. That is the prime reason K'Wan Williams instead of Justin Gilbert. That tells you all you need to know. This is not a developmental year for this football team. It's not a year where, to use the college coach expression, well, we're going to reload. We're going to retool a little bit. We don't need to rebuild. It's about winning.
Yeah.
So for all of you, again, that don't just hone in on the quarterback position. If this were a year that they were looking to develop players and winning was secondary, then Justin Gilbert would be playing 60 snaps a game out on that corner, and Terrence West would not have gotten himself in somewhat of the murky situation he's in right now.
Taking their bumps and bruises, which along the way – to winning 4, 5, or 6 games in a football season.
Exactly. But this coaching staff, as they go through every day and in the film room, they said, wait a minute, this undrafted free agent, K'Wan Williams, catching our eye, he's a guy we trust in, we believe in, he's doing the things fundamentally, technique-wise, we're looking to get done in our defense, so he's up, and until the 8th overall pick earns it and shows more of what K'Wan, that should tell you all you need to know. I say that because apply that to the quarterback position, folks.
Correct.
Apply that to the quarterback position. That's why that Brian Hoyer is the quarterback of this football team right now.
Sure. And again, just to share with you all, some perspective about the other rookie quarterbacks that are playing and the record of the teams that they are playing for. You talk Derek Carr, 0-6 in Oakland. You talk Blake Bortles, 1-6 in Jacksonville. You talk Teddy Bridgewater, 2-5 in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We got Zach Mettenberg, who's going to start this week for Tennessee.
Yeah.
They're 2-5, okay?
Yep.
5-22, okay? So these teams have all, at this point, minus maybe Tennessee, if they got it together in that division,
right.
Have a chance to get it together and be in the game towards the end of the season, the playoff hunt. Every other team has essentially chalked up
the year,
their season.
That's right.
To get their quarterback, the experience and game time ability to run the show for this year and years beyond. And so, what you're saying, Cleveland, or those Johnny Manziel fans out there. And again, like I've said all along, I'm not pro or against Johnny by any means. I want winning. You know, it's, are you willing to say and put that big question mark out there on the football field for 70 snaps and you're going to be happy with 6-10 or 7-9 or 5-11?
No,
the
answer
that's okay
is no,
with you,
definitively, and without hesitation, because and this coaching staff, and again, you got a first-year general manager and a first-year head coach, and they realize that they've been delivered the edict from the they understand. You got to go out there, and they're expecting great dramatic improvement in the win column this year.
Yes, they are.
You know, 4, 5, 6 wins, again, everybody is open for debate and discussion. if you win 4, 5, 6 games, meaning with your jobs, everybody.
Right.
And listen, you know, these Ray Farmer knows that. Mike Pettine knows that. The whole staff knows that. Brian Hoyer understands that he can't have too many football games like the one. Nobody knows that better than him.
No. Nope.
We say that all the time.
Yep.
He understands that. Because, you know, that he understands, he references, he spent time. I say this all the time. This Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco, they can have a bad one here and there, right?
They all
do. And
there
may be some few. They've reached that because when you're there, you can have a – everybody else, it's open for debate, man, each and every week. So nobody understands that more than Brian Hoyer.
You're right about that. And again, what we have the reluctance of our schedule this year is the AFC North and NFC North – or I'm sorry, AFC South and the NFC South, the two divisions that we play – you know, both, you know, two here and two there,
yeah,
are both struggling divisions.
You're right.
So if I'm a Browns fan, I want to win this season. You know, don't struggle through a schedule that you should essentially win more than you lose. And I think you have to put our best foot forward because we all know, would you rather root for a loser with the potential of next year being a winner? Because that's a question mark. Or would you rather go all in, you know, to win this football season and catapult us onto the map, onto that national map, and be in contention in what I feel an AFC North division that has a lot of parity. There is no dominant team right now in our division, and it's as open to anyone to win that division right now.
With that in mind, also on our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day, before we get our first break in, right now the Browns are ranked number 18 in this week's NFL Power Poll. Just a spot, really, a couple of spots below the upper half echelon in the National Football League. So is that the right spot for the Browns in your mind? Too high, too low? This week they're ranked 18th in the NFL.com Power Poll. So we're discussing that. How concerned are you that Tony Sprano is going to – and listen now, Oakland has caught a spark under Sprano. They had San Diego beat as he took over as the interim head coach 2 weeks ago. Had him beat and gave it away in the fourth quarter, as poor teams usually are wont to do, yes. And then last week, they're right there down a point, 14-13 to Arizona at home. And then Carson Palmer and the Cards caught a little bit of a spark and wound up winning 24-13 with a strong fourth quarter. But I mean, listen, that's what you're dealing with. There's talent on this football team. So, Sprano, is he going to dust off? Is he going to dust off some version of the Wildcat that he wants to bring in here? Is that what concerns you, or other areas? Large wide receivers, Oakland. Hey, I'm talking about guys 6'3", 6'4". We'll get into that. Do you believe that they're going to look to take advantage and in possible isolated one-on-one situations where they can high point the football possibly with Derek Carr? So what are the areas that are causing you concern? That's our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topic of the Day. I'll throw another one in too. How much belief do you have and how much confidence do you have that the Browns, after suffering what they did last week in a game that surprised most everybody around the NFL, how confident are you that they can flush that and get back to playing the type of football that we saw for 3 weeks straight before the debacle in Jacksonville? 216-578-0850. On Twitter, at Michael Rega, at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_daily, and at Matt Wilhelm 57. Let's go. Time to rev it up, Browns Nation. Come on now. Getting closer to game day. Let's go. Big Thursday in store for you right here. A lot to do on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Force.